Today's daf is Rav Basra daf Lamed Beis. We left off in daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. We're really in the middle of a discussion of Zilusa de Beidina, whether or not we're concerned about yo-yoing, going back and forth on a case based on new evidence, or do we assume that we're concerned for the Zilusa de Beidina that it's going to look bad for Beis Din if Beis Din keeps on changing their mind, or is integrity more important? Is it more important that we get it right rather than be concerned about the Zilusa de Beidina? So Zilusa de Beidina is a much broader concern, whereas if you're not going to be choshish for Zilusa de Beidina, you're much more concerned on the narrow specifics of this case, whereas what that does for the covet of Beis Din overall and what that's going to do for future cases and other cases and for the general community, we're not as concerned with. So the Gemara had told the story that who was it? Rav Nachman, I think it was, that initially wanted to say that he's not going to be concerned for Zilusa de Beidina. He was Savar Lemevet Uvda, that to say that he's going to go back and forth and not worry about the Zilusa de Beidina. Then it was proven to him that he should be worried about Zilusa de Beidina. And then it says, Nafak Avet Uvda, he went and he was not Choshish for Zilusa de Beidina. He went and he paskin back and forth. So, just picking it up, I guess, in the middle of the sentence, about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the page, Alamed Aleph and Beis, Man de Chaza Savar Tu Usa Yibiyade. So, anyone who saw what Rav Nachman did figured he must have made a mistake. He must have not remembered the brises that he had just quoted that had proven that he should be concerned about Zilusa de Beidina. But says the Gemara Velohi, there was no mistake. Elimishim Detalia Ba'ashli Ravravi, he had significant shitos to rely on of people who are not concerned about Zilusa de Beidina. Right, Rashbam says, Detali Bashli Ravravi, Rabbi Yehudov, Rabbi Lazav, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Kulu Sabri Lehu, De Lo Cheshin Zilusa de Beidina, Kidim Farish Ravashi Maskana, as Ravashi is going to explain soon. So we're going to have come up with several major shitos, Rabbi Yehudov, Rabbi Lazav, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who all say that we should not be worried about the Zilusa de Beidina, and therefore he was relying on that when he said that he's not going to worry about the Zilusa de Beidina. Fine, so says the Gemara. Zitnat, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, where do we see that these major shitos are not worried about Zilusa de Beidina? So we start Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein mal nukun al pi evechad, that Rabbi Yehuda says, based on a single witness, we cannot make a person a Kohen, based on the testimony of a single witness. Amar Ablazar says, Emasai, when is that true? That's only b'makam sheish orurin. That's only if there's somebody claiming that the guy's not a Kohen. Avol b'makam she'ein orurin, but if there's nobody claiming that the guy's not a Kohen, if everyone seems to agree that the fellow's a Kohen, no one has a problem with it, then mal lakun al pi'erechad. Then you can count him as a Kohen, in regard, even if you have only a single witness testifying that he's a Kohen. Mal lakuna lagabe what? A Kohen has a lot of halachos. He gets the first aliyah, he doesn't see his kapayim, he eats truma. So says Rashbam, ein mal lakuna lahachzik adam b'kohen, lechol b'truma v'lavod avoda v'lisa es kapa v'al p'yerechon, ha'mi'idu shu kohen, v'mfarash v'lozul kamei. Right, that it's the serious halachos of kohuna, of eating truma, of doing the avoda, of nesius kapayim. The noticeably absent is the idea of getting the first aliyah. Right, the first aliyah is not really much of a discussion. The Shulchan Aruch says that with the first aliyah, you can trust himself, you can trust the guy, as long as the guy, Mishabura says, you can trust the guy if he says he's a Kohen. That's typically what we do, right? The Gabbai just turns around to the shul and says, Kohen, and someone says, yeah, I'm a Kohen. We don't start questioning him and asking him what his yichus is and trying to figure out how he knows he's a Kohen and asking if he has any verification of the fact that he's a Kohen. He says he's a Kohen. But anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Eid Echad is good enough. Rabbi Lazar says that's only if no one's complaining. But if someone says that maybe he's not a Kohen, if someone has a Taina, that maybe he's not a Kohen, then it's not good enough. Rabbi Shimon Umliyalam, Rabbi Shimon Asugan, Malin Lekun Al Pi Eid Echad. He says that we are Malin Lekun Al Pi Eid Echad. So, frankly, Mara, wait a second. Shitas 1 and 3 are the same. Right? Shita number 1, Rabbi Yehuda, was that Eid Echad is good enough. Then comes along Rabbi Lazar and says, that's only if no one's saying anything to the contrary. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, 1-8 is good enough. So what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So says Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Says Gemara, Shitas 2 and 3 are the same, right? So it says, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hein Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar seem to be saying the same thing, because says Rashbam, why are we assuming 2 and 3 are the same? Why not 1 and 3 are the same? I mean, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel just said that Mal Mukun Al Pi Erechad. How do we know that that means there's no orin, that we're talking about a case where there's no one saying otherwise? So says Rashbam, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Han Rabbi Lazar, the Havada b'makom sheyesh orin alav lo omer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the lav echad neman. He's certainly not saying that one is going to be believed when there are orin. V'chiyamar malin b'makom she'ein orin kamar. So when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that we are malin, it must be when there's no orin, when there's no one complaining about it. That's where we have to say that he would say malin al pi erechad. And the truth is, there aren't three shitos. And what it seems is there's really one shita. Shita number two is not arguing on shita number one, right? Whenever you say emasai bameh, something like that, you're coming to qualify the previous shita. You're not coming to argue on the previous shita. So when Rabbi Lazar says emasai, commenting on Rabbi Yehuda, he's qualifying Rabbi Yehuda. He's not arguing on Rabbi Yehuda. So we're saying all three shitos seem to be saying the same thing, and that's why the Rashbam makes that point as well. If you look at the end of the first really wide line in the Rashbam, ulefarish diver Rabbi Yehuda ba v'lo lachlok alav. That clearly Rabbi Lazar is only coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda. He's not at all coming to argue on Rabbi Yehuda. But bottom line is, they're all saying the same thing. What's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel adding at the end when he says Mal Lukun al pi erechad? So it says in Rabbi Chita me'ir erchadi kebenayhu. Maybe you're going to say the difference between them is if there's only one aid that's being ma'arer and that's saying that this fellow is not a kohen. Rabbi Lazar savar ir erchad. Maybe Rabbi Lazar holds that even if you only have one guy claiming he's not a kohen, that's called an ir or. That's called that there are claims against his kahuna, and therefore that would be enough to say that Eid Echad should not be Neman to be Machshir him. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar, Eretreim. Shimon Gamliel says, no, if you want to not be Machshir him, you're going to need two people to be Ma'arer. If you're going to want an Eid Echad to not suffice to be Machshir him, you're going to need two people that have a Taina. You need two people that are Ma'arer, that have a serious Taina. That can't be the difference, because Rabbi Yochanan said somewhere, Rashbam says lo esparash hechakai, unclear exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was going on when he said this, but Rabbi Yochanan holds in general that einir pachas mishnayim, that error by definition is always going to be a minimum of two people. So if it's always going to be a minimum of two people, that can't be the point of dispute between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where Rabbi Lazar holds that even an error of one person suffices. It has to be always two people. So Ella Eritrei. So it must be that there's an error of two people. Vachav Mayaskinan, and over here we're dealing with a very unique case. What's the case? Kigon the Mechaskinan Leba Avu Dahai the Kohenu. We know about this guy that his father was a Kohen. Fine. V'navagle kolad ben grusha ben chalutzahu. The kol is, rumor has it, that the son, even though the father's a Kohen, that the son's a ben grusha ben chalutza. Meaning, rumor has it that the son's kuhuna has been mechulal, that he is no longer a Kohen. So, v'achtine, and therefore, we knock him down. We don't allow him to serve as a Kohen, right? V'achtine, says Rashbam, minakuna ad shi yivdeku es adavar, until we can investigate and figure out what the truth is. Shemali hi bekuna, and this is a special chumra that we have by kuna, that a kol alone that questions his credibility as a Kohen is enough for us to say, to push pause and to say, you know what, just sit back for a while until we find out more. Says Rashbam, v'kolze yisur lashon hu belo tzorech. We don't really need this part of the case in order to make our point to try to demonstrate how Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are arguing. We don't really need to say this part of the case. It's all yisur lashon belo tzorech. The below kol nami mituk mashmaitza shapir. The point is going to be what we're going to say now, the rest of the case. Let's read the rest of the case in the Gemara. Then a single aid comes and says, this guy is absolutely a Kohen. And based on that Eid Echad, we allow him to be a Kohen. We give him credibility back as a Kohen. Then two aidim come, and say, no, he's not a Kohen, he's a Chalal, he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and we knock him back down, and we tell him, no, he's not allowed to be a Kohen. And then another Eid Echad comes and says that he's a Kohen. So what's the issue? Well, the Kuli Alma Mitzdarf Nedus. Everyone would agree that one Eid at the beginning and one Eid at the end can combine together to make one kat, to make a group of Eidim, to make a set, and Vahacha B'mechash L'zus D'Beidina K'mifkli. So what's the machlokas over here? The machlokas is, should we or should we not be concerned about the Zilus D'Beidina? Rav Lazar Savar, Kivan Da Achtinei Lo Maskin Alei Cheshin L'Zilus D'Beidina. Rav Lazar says, once we've already knocked him down, we can't put him back up and allow him to be a Kohen again, because we're choshesh for Zilus D'Beidina. That by allowing him to become a Kohen again, it's going to be a Zilus D'Beidina, it's going to look bad for the Beis Din. That we can't make up our minds. At first we tell him he can't be a Kohen, now we tell him he can be a Kohen. Rav Shmuel Liel Sofer, Anan Achtinan, Anan Maskinan Leiz, Lusa De Bedin, Lo Chashinan. Rav Shmuel Liel says, what are you talking about? We're the ones that knocked him down. We're the ones that should pick him right back up. We have no reason to be Choshesh for the Zilusa De Bedina. Now, if you look at the Rashbam, in Rav Lazar holds that Kibin Achtinay, we're not going to be Maskinay because we're Choshesh for the Zilusa De Bedina. Rav Lazar Sofer, Kibin Achtinay, Al Pi Beis Orvin. Right? Since we knocked him down, not stam because we made an error, we knocked him down because there were two people coming and saying that he was Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Ubadino Renuhu, we knocked him down correctly. The Torah always believes to aid him. Sulo liski le alpir eidechad zaasheni afal pishish letzarfu emarishon alach shiro lezeh. And we're not going to now put him back into the status of Kuna based on the Eid Echad who comes at the end, even though we could connect that Eid Echad to the Eid Echad who came at the beginning and make them one group of Eidim and be Machshu the Kohen. How could we be Machshu the Kohen? Du'uki trei lebadi trei, v'uki gavra chaske. Meaning the point is, you have two Eidim saying he is a Kohen, two Eidim saying he's not a Kohen. Those guys cancel each other out, and what are you left with? You're left with the fact that you have a chazaka that this guy's father was a Kohen. Achaske de Kashrus, Kamaisa, Tava Muxak, Lan Bavu, de Kohenu, Vigamich Sharnu, Tchila, Al Pierechot, Kodum Shema Orin. Plus, we had him kosher first, based on the Erecha. That was our initial statement, was that this man is kosher. Meaning, when Bazin first had to make an initial statement about what he was, it was based on that one aid, and we said he was kosher. So, certainly, we would have said he was kosher if it was just two against two, because you have the Chazaka Da'avua. But because of the Zilus of the Beidina, we're going to leave it as is. Now, the Rav Chanan asks the following question. He says, wait a second. Basically, it's two against two, so we have no Eidus whatsoever. So what are we relying on? The Chazaka, that what? That his father was a Kohen. So, Frank Rav Chanan, what's the Toelos of the son in the Chazaka of the father? On the father, there's no suffix. The father we know is a Kohen. We're not questioning whether the father can do Chun. We're not questioning whether the father can eat Truma. We're questioning whether the son can eat truma. So Rav Chanan is miyashev that the psul of the son is one of the dine ha'av. That meaning when you make somebody a kohen, part of the dine kohuna is that bino miyuchas achrav, is that a son is going to be miyuchas after him, is that you're going to rely on the yichus of the son, and that the son is going to follow his yichus. And that is one of the dine av. So the chazaka of the father helps, because it is in fact a din in the father. And you have to say something. You have to say in some way that it's that it affects the father and not just the child.
You know, what's called, I mean, the fact that he's the father, eating truma and duchening and all doing all those things, means he's not married to Grusha and Chalutza. Because Grusha, if he's married to Grusha Chalutza, he wouldn't be allowed to duchen.
Is that true?
I think so.
Not sure. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Because the father's dead, though. I mean, the point is, right? the father's not alive. We don't know what's going on with the father. He quotes in the Biri Adaf that the Ha'afike Yam Yishev Shakavana Shekimin Sheishnei Kitos Edim Amachisho Zuzu Im Kein Lo Nidon Ashneim Yashir Adin Shaben Kohen Kamo Aviv. Meaning, it's not that there's a chazaka of the father. Not that the Rashbam means that there's a chazaka of the father. But that when you have shnei kitei edim that are machash each other, you have two sets of edim that contradict each other, so we we just leave the din alone. And the normal din is that a son is miyuchas after his father. It's not the chazaka of the father. The chazaka of the father doesn't help the son. It's just you follow the normal pattern. And the normal pattern in is always that a son goes after the father. So, okay. The Tosos, v'nafaka lekola v'achtine, initially the Gemara said that a kol goes out, that maybe he's a ben grusha ben chalutza, and right away we knock him down. So says Tosos, lav davka achtine, meaning, and the Rashbam made this point as well, it's not that we knock him down by saying, you're definitely not a kohen, right? You're not a kohen. We just tell him, be cautious for now. We don't know, let us investigate a little further. Eloklomar mimeli yara di'idavka achtine, because if it would be that we mamish tell him, look, you're not a kohen anymore, amaya sikne, then why do we bring him back up when the Eid Echad comes and the Eid Echad says that he is a Kohen? Right there you would have Zilusa de Beidina. Meaning if initially when we told him to stop eating Truma and to stop Duchenik, that itself would have been a psak, then when the Eid Echad first comes, the first Eid Echad comes and says he is a Kohen, putting him back into Kuhuna would have been a problem with Zilusa de Beidina. Maybe you'll say, no, it is a psak, but it's not Zilusa de Beidina to only change our mind once. Maybe it's only his lucid to be dina problem when we have to change our mind back and forth and back and forth. So he says, "Veleka lameimar leka zilusa elik sharidu beis pa'amin." Don't tell me that zilusa is only when you have to knock him down twice. Because in our sugya, it's going to be very clear that even with only one time, we're concerned about zilusa de beidina. Inami horada gemura kamar, or it could be that it is a horada gemura. That the first time when the kol came out, that maybe he's a ben grusha ben chalutza, it was absolutely horada gemura. We took him down from kuna. Veleka zilusa de beidina elahechado ridu al yidei edus, aval barada shal yidei kol leka zilusa. And it's still not as zilusa de beidina if what was behind knocking him down from Kuruna was not Eidos. It was only a kol. It's only when Beis Din makes a stronger statement that you can't be a kohen based on what Beis Din is claiming is very strong evidence, it's only then that changing their mind is going to be a problem of zilusa de beidina. Okay. So, now, all of this is when there's still some sort of suffix, meaning we don't have absolutely indisputable evidence in one direction or the other. Right? Mustam, if you had indisputable evidence one direction or the other, then forget Zilusa de Beidina. The issue over here is you really have trey. So it's a question of relying on a chazaka, relying on normally the son going after the father, things like that, after we've already passed. So for it to rely on weaker types of birurim, after we've already passed, then maybe we're going to be concerned about Zilusa de Beidina. But anyway, so that's the Gemara's understanding of this machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rishon Lamliel, that Rabbi Elazar is choshesh for Zilusa de Beidina, and Rishon Lamliel is not choshesh for Zilusa de Beidina. So Maskev l'Ravashi, so again, that was the Ashli Ravravi. Rabbi Lamliel is the Ashli Ravravi that he relied on when he said, we're not going to be choshesh for Zilusa de Beidina. So Maskev l'Ravashi, so Ravashi says, wait a second, if that's the machlokas, if that's the machlokas, why do you set up the case that it was one aid, then two aidim, then one aid? If the whole issue is Zilusa de Beidina, let it be two aidim, and then another two aidim. Two aidim come and say that he's not a Kohen, and then two other aidim come and say that he is a Kohen. So that alone should be an issue of Zilusa de Beidina right there. Two aidim come and say he's not a Kohen, we knock him down and we pask him for him, sorry, you're not a Kohen. Two other Adam come and say he is a Kohen, boom, Zilusa de Beidina. Should we bring him back up to Kuna based on that? Right there, you have Zilusa de Beidina. So Elo Am Ravashi, Ravashi says, Dukali Alma Alo Cheshin Zilusa de Beidina. Now everyone holds that Zilusa de Beidina is a non-factor. We're not going to allow that to factor into how we proceed in the case. V'hacha b'letzarif edus kamiflugi. Over here, the whole point of dispute is whether an aid that comes at the beginning can combine with an aid that comes later on. Ubiplukta the Dani Tanayan, the Machlokas is as follows. The Tanya, the Machlokas, is a Machlokas within that lines up with the following Machlokas Tanayim. The Tanya, Liolam, Ein Edusa Mitzarefes, Sachi Yerushneim Ke'echad. Bryce says, according to the Tanakama, that Edus can't be Mitzarif to Edim unless both of them saw at the same time. They both saw the Edus at the same time. As opposed to if you have one guy says, Bifanei Hilvahu, and the other guy says, Bifanei Hodolo, the Rashbam says. Meaning one person says, I saw Reuven lend money to Shimon, and the other one says, I saw Reuven admit that he owed money to Shimon. So they didn't see the same thing. I mean, they're testifying about the same $100, but they didn't see the same event at the same time. So that's no good. Rabbi Shuban Karcha Omer, and Rabbi Shuban Karcha says that even if one guy says that on Sunday Reuven lent money to Shimon, and the other one says on Monday I saw that he lent money to Shimon, so that would still be good enough so long as they're yidu shneim keachad, as they come to testify together, even though they didn't they're testifying about two different days. But nevertheless, we say, you know what, they're both claiming he owes $100. So the content of the Reidos is essentially the same. They're both claiming Reuven owes Shimon $100. Rabbi Nosna, so as long as they testify together, that's good enough. Rabbi Nosna Omer Shomon Dvarav Shal Zeh Yom, Ulkshev Chaver Lemachar Shomon Dvarav. And Rabbi Nosna says, we listen to what one aide has to say today, and then we'll listen to what the other aide has to say the next day. But the bottom line is, what do you see? That according to Rabbi Nassim, the two Eidim don't have to testify together. You can have one Eid testify one day, another Eid testify another day, and we combine them together to make them one set of Eidim, and that's good enough. Whereas Tanakhama holds not so, that you need the Eidim to testify together. So that's really the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar. It's not a machlokas about Zilusa de Beidina. Okay. Says Gemara Vayter, Ha'udam l'chavre, a guy says to his friend, my boy is payar, what are you doing in my land? That's how every case in Cheskos about them starts out. He says, what do you mean, what am I doing in your land? I bought it from you, and look, I have a shtar that says that I bought it from you. So the response he gets is, shtara zaifahu, that's a forged shtar. There's no way that that is a kosher shtar, you clearly forged that shtar. Gachin lachash le rabba, so the fellow holding the shtar leans down and whispers to Rabbah in Shtara Zaifu, he's got a good eye, really Taka is a forged star, but Miu Shtara Ma'al Yahavali V'irkas, but I did have a kosher star, it's just that I lost it, so I needed to have something, so V'amina Im Kitabi Yadai Kalduhu, I figured I might as well come to court with something, so I quickly chopped this forged star in place of my regular star. But in Achinami, it is a forged star, but I did have a kosher star, it's just that I don't have it anymore. So Amar Rabba, what is Rabba Paskin? Malul Shaker, he has a migo. Ibai Yamar Shtar Ma'al Yehu, he could have said that it was a kosher star, and we would have believed him. We can't tell that it's a forged star. So since he could have said that it was a kosher star, and he would have been believed to say that it was a kosher star, we believe him to say that he had a kosher star, and that and he's really owed the money. Even though what he's holding in his hand is a forged star. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, what? Am I cause samachta high star? Why would you rely on this star? Meaning, what you're saying at the end is that his migo. What's the migo? That you would believe him if he said that this was a kosher star, and therefore we're going to believe him that he had a kosher star. So you're relying on the possible ne'amanus of this star. But this star, high star, achas v'bialnuhu. This star we know to be a piece of garbage. We know that this star is worthless because he even told us that this shtar is worthless. So how can you base his whole ne'amanus on what he could have done with this shtar when we know that the shtar is absolutely worthless? So what we have to figure out over here is, what does that mean? So what, the shtar is worthless? Isn't that what every migo is? If he wanted a lie, he could have told a better lie. Better lie, by definition, means a lie, right? He could have said something else, which was not true, but he would have been believed. So what's the difference between a taina that's not true, where he would have been believed, and a shtar that's not true, that he could have been believed with? Isn't that the definition of migo? Believe in what he's saying now. Migo that he could have said something else, which is a lie. He could have lied and been believed. So he could have used this shtar, which is a lie, which is nothing, which is a piece of garbage. But yeah, that's exactly what migo is. The other issue that the Rishonim try to figure out over here is, what do you mean he could have been believed with this shtar? Don't we say that you have to be mekayim the shtar? Don't you have to do kum shtaros? So the Eidim would have come, the Eidim signed of the shtar would have come and would have said, that's not our signature, we never signed this shtar. And that's it, they would have been thrown out. So would he really have been believed? Did he really have the ability to be believed by the shtar? So both studim require a little analysis. So if you look at the Rashbam says, in shtar zaifa, who on the third line, pirush rach, lav shtar zaifa mamish, ele kmo shtar zaifa, shlo nichtav al mechirazu. It could not have really been a forged shtar. It has to be a shtar that was a legitimate shtar. It just wasn't on this transaction. It was a shtar that was written on a different transaction. Umayniu shtar amanadu batel. Miu ilav da odi b'tanasi de tovei de shtar zayfu lav kol kamine. Shere edim makirim chasima sidehem. Right, meaning the Eidim themselves, we assume, would recognize their own signatures. Umishum hachi amar Rabba malo l'shaka v'lo mashtar ma'aliyah hava havali v'irkas lema haishtar alav zayfu diav bayu l'kume mekayim le. That's what Rabba's whole migo is predicated on. It's predicated on his ability to be mekayim the shtar. He could have been mekayim the shtar because it was legit. It just wasn't on this transaction. But it was a shtar that had Eidim been brought to Beis Din and been asked, is that your signature? They would have said yes. And if the Eidim weren't around, if we would have required two other Eidim to testify, is this the signature of Ploni? They would have said yes, absolutely. They would have verified it. Inami ikalafrushe, or you could say, zayfashtarmazuyiv zayfa shtar mazuyiv mamish hazyev chasim eseidim yafe. Or it could be a really good forgery. I mean, if you're going to say it is a forgery, you have to say it was a really good forgery to the point that the Eidim would have thought that it was their own signatures and they would have been Mekayim the Shtar. Meaning you would have been able to be Mekayim the Shtar because the Eidim themselves would have been fooled. And that's why we're going to rely on such amigo. Says Rashbam, what about our other Kasha? That Rav Yosef goes crazy, says, what do you mean? The Shtar is a piece of garbage! Who cares the shtar is a piece of garbage? Isn't that what every migo is? That every migo relies on a taina that's a lie. That I could have said a taina that's a lie, and therefore you should believe me in what I'm saying right now. So what that the shtar is a piece of garbage? So says Rashbam, v'lo dummy in Dibur Maskalamai, third line in, v'lo dummy l'shar mala l'shakar shubu gemara. It's not like every other migo in the Gemara. Sheshtei tainos yicholos lios emes. Because they're both tainos in the Gemara are potentially true. That which he says is potentially true, and that which he could have said is potentially true. Velotan, but he didn't say the second potentially true claim. Damrin and Migo, that's where we say Migo. Avalhacha dami lemalo l'shakar b'makom edim. But over here it's like a migo b'makom edim. Believe me that I say taina A because I could have said taina B when we have edim that taina B is simply not true. Right? Shari kol kocho v'cheskaso b'kar kazu al yidei haishtar. His whole proof, his whole ability to retain ownership of this land is through this shtar. V'heich nomer malo l'shakar b'shtar zeh. So how can you say amigo on this shtar? Iba yomer shtar malyu. Because he could have said it's a kosher shtar. V'alo modish ha-shtar pasul. He's moda that the shtar is pasul. V'odas baldin k'meya edim. And odas baldin is like meya edim. Meaning, in a normal migo, when I make claim A, I'm not saying claim B is false. I'm not testifying that claim B is false. I'm saying claim A. I'm saying you owe me $100 for reason A. I'm not saying that reason B is false. Now, it happens to be that I am saying reason B is false because when I say that it's because of reason A, I'm saying that it's not reason B, but I'm not saying beferish that reason B is false. I'm not testifying that claim B that I could have said is not true. I'm testifying that claim A is true. So I'm going to be believed with claim A, migo that I could have said claim B. But over here, when I'm coming in with my claim, I'm befeirish saying I'm being made that the shtar is mezuyif. That's kemeya edim. That's kilu I have 100 edim that the shtar is mezuyif. So you're not going to base my entire migo on that shtar that's potentially mezuyif. It's a fine chiluk, but you have to say some sort of chiluk between this and every other migo in all of Shas. Says Gemara Vayter, who damar le v'chavrei? A guy says to his friend, havli me'azuzi demasiknabach v'hashtara. Give me the $100 that you owe me, and here's a shtar that verifies that in fact you owe me the $100. Amalei shtar zayfahu. The guy says that shtar, that's a forgery. I don't have to give you any such money. Gachlan lachash le the rabba. So the fellow holding the shtar again bends down and whispers to Rabba. You know, Rabba must have been short. He bends down and he whispers to Rabba, in shtar zayfahu. Yes, indeed, it's a shtar mezuyif. But I did have a kosher shtar and I lost it. And I figured I might as well bring something. So I brought this forged document with me. So Rabbi says, why would he lie? If he could have, if he wanted, he could have said that it's a shtar malia. Rav Yosef says, what? How could you rely on that shtar? That shtar is a piece of garbage. What's the difference between this case and the last case? So what happened is, in the last case, was Ahudam Leil Chavi Maibayis Pahayara, right? It was about land. In this case, it's Havli Me'azuzi. It's about money rather than land. So Amar Ravidi Barav in Hilchsa Kavased Rabba Ba'ara, Hilchsa Kavased Rav Yosef Bezuzi. We pass them like Rabba when it comes to land, that you do have a Migo, and you are believed with the Shtar Mezuyof, and when it comes to money, we pass them like Rav Yosef that you're not believed. The reason we pass them like Rabba when it comes to the land is because we keep the land in the possession of the guy who has it. And the guy who has it right now is the Muchzak. And we pass on like Rav Yosef Gabi the money, because again, Amotzi Mechaver Olav Rayan. Who has the money? The one who's holding on to the money, right? The other guy, the guy with the shtar, is trying to get the money away from the other fellow. So then we're not going to believe the shtar, because we're not going to believe the shtar to take away the money. We're going to believe the shtar to keep it exactly, we're going to use the shtar Mezuyev to keep the money exactly where it is. Says Tosos, Rabbi Shmuel explains that we're not really sure who to paskin like, and out of a suffix, we say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. V'tzarech lidchok ulefarish ulechalik ben sveika de trey l'sveika de dina. Dalo ukma becheskos marakama kamo benichse de barshatya darmina uki trey ba di trey uki nichse becheskos shatya. Meaning, apparently, if the suffix is a suffix in dina, you have to say that it's a different kind of suffix than a suffix of trey trey. Because when it came to the suffix of trey utrey, two edim saying one way, two edim saying the other way, we didn't say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, look at who's muchzak in it now. We went after the marakama. We said, look at who was the previous owner. And that's who was the last known definite owner. And that's who we gave it to. Yet by this kind of suffix, by our suffix in din, we're saying, whoever's holding on to it now. Even if he's not even if we have no evidence at all that he was ever the owner of it, the guy holding on to the land now, we never know if he was ever the owner of it. But we're saying, let him keep it now. So Tos says, if you can say that it's a suffix, then you have to be mechalik between two types of sveikos, between a suffix in din versus a suffix of trey utrey. The Rashbam also points out, in terms of klalei apsak, Rashbam writes right before the lines get really wide, the afligav to paskin halacha krav Yosef besadin in mechza mechal de bekuli gemara halacha karabah velo krav Yosef, even though the gemara is going to say later on that there are very specific instances where we paskin like Rav Yosef against Rabbah, implying that in the Gantz Shas, everywhere else, we always paskin like Rabbah against Rav Yosef. So what are we doing over here that we're paskin like Rabbah a little bit, like Rav Yosef a little bit? Vacha paskin halacha krav Yosef, lo kasha, da bahach tuch denami paskinan ke Rabbah. It's not a kasha that we paskin a little bit like Rav Yosef here, because in the same machlokas where we're paskin like Rav Yosef, we're also paskin like Rabbah a little bit, meaning we're splitting the psak. So it's not against the rule that the halacha is supposed to be like Rabbah. It sort of fits the rule that the halacha is supposed to be like Rabbah, because it's partially within the rule that the halacha is supposed to be like Rabbah. Okay, we'll stop here for slichos, and it's easy to catch up in both gastros.